Hello, fancy seeing you here. Hi, this is Elliot Odell, and welcome to the very first module of the God Answers Yes program. I'm really excited to see you here. And this first module of 8 modules is the secret you must know to having God answer yes to all your prayers. This is the first of 8, and I'm going to be sharing the secret you must know in this part. Now, throughout this whole study, what we're going to be studying is a study of what God himself has to say about how he would like us to pray and what he himself said he requires of us to answer our prayers. Okay, so this isn't going to be based on my opinion. It's not going to be based on what I've heard somebody else say. This is strictly based on what the Word of God has to say. All right. Now, God has given us a lot of principles that we should follow. And what I've done is I've condensed them all and tried to make it very simple for you so that you can follow these simple steps step by step. And if you follow them, I can promise you, if you do what God has asked of you to do, I can promise you this, that your life will be transformed and your prayer life will be transformed. That's a promise I can make you. Now, we're going to be having a lot of fun together. We're going to be learning a lot together. I'm going to make you a little bit uncomfortable at times, but that's okay. We're going to get excited at times, and at other times, we're going to take action because you want results, right? So taking action is the most important part to do with what you learn. Right. Now, let me give you a little overview of what we're going to talk about today in this module. First of all, what I'm going to teach you is I don't want you to just accept what I say. I don't care how much you like me. I don't care how much you like anybody else. Never just take somebody's word for anything. What you want to do is make sure that it lines up with the Word of God. So we're going to be talking about that. We're also going to be talking about some of the benefits of prayer. What benefits does it actually bring you? You know, a lot of people spend very little time praying, and it's just a few minutes each day. But what you want to do is build a relationship with God, and there are many benefits, and we're going to go through some of those today. We're also going to be talking about how prayer is supposed to be a productive activity. See, your prayers serve God's purpose. Your prayers have the purpose to produce the will of heaven on this earth. That's your prayers. All right. Now, we're also going to cover, as I mentioned earlier, the real secret you must know to making sure that God answers yes to all your prayers. Then we're going to actually be talking about what God's will actually is. A lot of people kind of think, well, if God wills this, then this will happen. If God wills that, then that will happen. But see, God has said if we pray according to his will, then we know we have the petitions that we asked of him. And if we're not sure, then how are we supposed to make our requests in accordance to his will? All right, so we're going to be learning exactly that. Now, we're also going to be learning how you can receive from God. And it is just so simple. It's so simple that it's, I mean, people like to overcomplicate things. That's what I'm going to say. But it's really simple. Now, sometimes it's not easy, but it is simple. And that's what we like. Now, what I've tried to do with this program is make sure that you have a good concept of everything that's going on. So I'm going to be explaining why we're learning certain things. I'm also going to be explaining what it is that we're actually learning. And then, most importantly, I'm going to show you how to make this practical. And I'm going to give you steps to follow. And I'm going to also tell you what to do if you're trying certain steps and things aren't quite going how you would like them to go. And I think that that's very important so that you don't get discouraged and so you can continue in your walk with God and make it all the way to the manifestation that your petition has made of God. All right. Now, the first section we're going to cover, don't just accept what I have to say. Make sure that it can be proved with scripture. Okay. And the reason what you want to make sure it can be proved with scripture is because all scripture, not some, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It says so in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. And if you remember in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says that if you seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, then guess what happens? All these things are added onto you. And so the scripture says all scripture is given by inspiration of God for instruction in righteousness. And so we must seek righteousness, righteousness and right way of doing things the way God wants them done. And then that way we can have all things added onto us. Now, we don't want to make the word of God of none effect through your tradition. Many people have beliefs because of what relatives have told them, because of what maybe their preacher or teachers have been teaching them, and they often don't even question where certain beliefs have come from. And so what happens is through your tradition, the word of God becomes of none effect, not because the word of God isn't powerful enough to do anything, but because you're not adhering to the principles which the word of God presents. And in order to benefit from those, you need to make sure that you are obeying those principles. And so you can make the word of God of none effect through your tradition. So you want to kind of move away from your traditions and move into the way that God has always intended things to be. Let God be true, but every man a liar. All right. Now, the Bible also says, wherefore, let him that think he stands take heed lest he fall. So a lot of us think, well, I'm just going to do things the way I want to do them. Well, God says you need to take heed, because if you're standing on what you consider to be firm ground, that's what God considers sand. And if you're not fastened to the rock, which is the word of God, you are going to be on shaky ground. And when it comes to it, you're not going to stand very long. So take heed lest you fall. Because if any man thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing, the Bible says, yet as he ought to know. Okay? What you want to do is trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not onto your own understanding. All right, so I've got a little quote for you that I want to share with you, and it's from this book called Messages to Young People, and it's a gift that a dear lady at my church gave me a few years ago, and actually it took me a while to read it. I actually looked at some of the contents and I thought, I don't know if I want to read that, because I didn't want someone to change my opinions of things. I read some of the titles and I thought, I don't really want to be convicted of things that I'm doing wrong. So I put it down for a while, but I picked it up and I read something very interesting in here. And it's from page 260, and it says, in your study of the word, lay at the door of investigation your preconceived opinions and your hereditary and cultivated ideas. That means to lay aside the ideas that somebody else has impressed on you, or ideas that you've come up with on your own, or just ideas that you've just always had in your head. It says, you will never reach the truth if you study the scriptures to vindicate your own ideas. It says, leave these at the door. And with a contrite heart, that means basically a humble heart, go in to hear what the Lord has to say to you. As the humble seeker for truth sits at Christ's feet and learns of him, the word gives him understanding. To those who are too wise in their own conceit to study the Bible, Christ says, you must become meek and lowly in heart if you desire to become wise unto salvation. So what you don't want to do, it goes on to say, do not read the word in the light of former opinions, but with a mind free from prejudice, search it carefully and prayerfully. If as you read, conviction comes, you know, if something comes telling you, maybe you shouldn't be doing this, or maybe you shouldn't be doing that, and you see that your cherished opinions are not in harmony with the word, do not try to make the word fit these opinions. make your opinions fit the word. Do not allow what you have believed or practiced in the past to control your understanding. Open the eyes of your mind to behold the wondrous things out of the law. Find out what is written and then plant your feet on the eternal rock. And I feel that really sums it up very nicely. To just come to the word and allow God to just share with you what he has on his heart. And he's really doing it for your benefit because he wants to give you the desires of your heart. And he wants to make the desires of your heart right so that when you make your request to him, he can answer them. All right? Now, I want to give you an analogy here. When you search the Word of God, and we're searching the Word of God about prayer, it's kind of like going into a dark room, the dark room of God's will and promises. So if you can imagine yourself in a really dark room, and you know that in this room you've got scriptures that will tell you what to do in this situation, what to do in that situation, and what God will do in this situation if you do this and if you do that. Well, if you're in the dark, what's the very first thing that you want to do? The first thing you do is you find a light switch. Well, the Bible is a light switch, and when you switch it on, so for example, if you're trying to pray and you're just using your own words and you're praying this and praying that, and you know, you're trying to get God to answer something that you're just coming up with, you're sort of praying in the dark because you don't really know, okay, what am I actually praying? Is what I'm praying even God's will? The Bible is the light switch, and it will guide you to God's will and to his promises and actually show you what you need to know. All right. Now, if you want, you can carry on in the dark and you can fumble around in the dark and eventually find what you need by trial and error after you've stumbled on things and fallen over and wrecked the room and stubbed your toe and everything else. But isn't it so much better and so much easier, in fact, and so much less painful to just turn on the light switch and be free from frustration and all the other trial and error and everything else? Why don't you just open the Word of God and get into it? And so that's what we're here to do today, because God's Word gives us that light. It's the light switch, okay? And that's the aim of this video, to turn on the light switch and the rest of the 8 videos we have to go. Now, Psalm 119 verse 105 actually says that God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. So you thought I was just making this up, making up some cute analogy. No, the word of God is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Now, if we acknowledge him in all our ways, he will direct our path. So you don't have to be stumbling around and fumbling around and wondering, okay, what do I pray here? What do I pray there? If we acknowledge him in all our ways, he will direct our paths. Now, the word says that God is the word. So if we acknowledge his word in all our ways, then his word will direct our path. All right? So I want to encourage you to get into the word. Why? Because you will gain confidence that you're praying the right thing. And so when you know you're praying the right thing, you're going to have the confidence that God will actually answer you. And you can actually pray in faith, which the Bible says is so important. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we're going to learn how to pray in faith. And we're going to learn to avoid all the frustration and everything else when we see that things aren't quite going how we want them to go, because we've got the devil on our case who tries to discourage us and tries to get you off faith from the word. Now, we don't want that. Okay, so I want to share with you some of the benefits of prayer. And when you pray, I tell you, you have power. And this is why the devil fights so hard to try and get you not to pray, because he knows there is power when you pray. His efforts are sometimes stopped when God's people pray. Okay? His kingdom is in trouble when you are involved in much prayer. Okay? So you want to be praying. Jesus said we ought to always be praying. Always pray without ceasing. And when you do this, a lot of the things God has given you to do, you'll start achieving, because you've got direction from the Lord. You know which steps to take, and God just guides you, and you see prayers being answered. And I can promise you, a prayer life with power, when you know and you're confident that you're praying God's will, is so wonderful because you just know that God's going to answer you and you just have no worries about things and you have this joy and this peace about you. And people kind of look at you funny and they're thinking, well, how come he's just so peaceful? All around him seems like it's terrible and yet he has this peace which passes understanding. Those are some of the benefits of prayer. Now, I want to read to you another quote, and it's from the same book, Messages to Young People, and I can't remember which page it is, but I'm going to read it to you anyway. It says, "The youth who finds his joy in reading the Word of God and in the hour of prayer will be constantly refreshed by draughts from the fountain of life. He will attain a height of moral excellence and a breadth of thought of which others cannot conceive. Communion with God encourages good thoughts, noble aspirations, clear perceptions of truth, and lofty purposes of action. Those who thus connect themselves with God are acknowledged by him as his sons and daughters. They are constantly reaching higher and still higher, obtaining clearer views of God and of eternity until the Lord makes them channels of light and wisdom to the world." So one of the things that you're going to get from prayer is this power from God that makes you a light to the world, where other people just marvel at you because of God in you. Now, the strength acquired in prayer to God will prepare us for our daily duties. The temptations to which we are daily exposed make prayer a necessity. In order that we may be kept by the power of God through faith, the desires of the mind should be continually ascending in silent prayer. Now, prayer is something that God has given us as a communication medium between earth and heaven, okay? And prayer actually has some rules to it. It has rules. It's kind of like sport. You know, people, when they violate the rules of sport, what happens? They get penalized. And so if we don't actually know the rules or aren't familiar with the rules or with the principles, if you prefer that word, of how prayer is actually to work, then unfortunately, your prayer life isn't going to be very successful and you're going to end up very frustrated if you don't know the principles that God has given us. If you don't play by the rules, then your prayer life won't be very successful. And I know you don't want that. So it's very important that we learn some of the guidelines, and you're particularly going to love module 2 because module 2 is going to tell us the requirements God has. And that's the module after this one. It's going to tell you all the requirements, everything that I found in the Bible through my own personal study that God actually requires of us so that he can answer our prayers. And I know you're going to find this module so valuable. In fact, you're going to go back to it time and time again. There's a checklist that comes with it. And I want you to take advantage of that because it's going to let you know on that checklist if you're doing everything you need to be doing right. And if you know you're doing everything right on that checklist, then you know beyond doubt that God's answer will come to your prayers. Okay? So here are some of the rules that God has given us for prayer. And I promise you that if anybody that follows this, they will succeed in prayer. They will have answers to their prayers. 1 John chapter 5 verse 14 and 15 says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." Okay, so that's a rule right there. We have to ask anything according to his will, and he will hear us. If you're asking anything outside of God's will, well, he's not going to answer that, is he? Now, if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So asking according to God's will is very important, and we're going to cover how you actually ask according to God's will a little later on. Now, Jesus said, therefore, this is in Mark chapter 11, verse 24, "Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." Now, that's very interesting. See, a lot of people think, whatsoever things you desire, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. And they say it very simply, but the Bible says, when ye pray. So at the point where you're praying, you need to believe that you receive at the point when you're praying, and then you'll have them. Whatsoever things, you can pray whatsoever things that you desire, but when you're praying, you have to be praying, believing when you're praying that God will answer you. And then ye shall have them, and ye shall receive them. Now, in order for us to believe, we have to know and have the confidence that we're asking according to God's will. And when we know we're asking according to God's will, then we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. And therefore, when we pray, we can believe at that point when we're praying that we will receive what we have asked for. Now, I want to read a quote to you from another book called Early Writings. And this is from page 72 and 73. And it says, I have frequently seen that the children of the Lord neglect prayer, especially secret prayer, altogether too much, that they do not exercise that faith which it is their privilege and duty to exercise, often waiting for that feeling which faith alone can bring. Feeling is not faith. The two are distinct. Faith is ours to exercise, but joyful feeling and the blessing are God's to give. The grace of God comes to the soul through the channel of living faith, and that faith it is in our power to exercise. True faith lays hold of and claims the promised blessing before it is realized and felt. We must send up our petitions in faith within the veil and let our faith take hold of the promised blessings and claim it as ours. We are then to believe that we receive the blessing because our faith has hold of it, and according to the word, it is ours. Whatsoever things ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Here is faith, naked faith, to believe that we receive the blessing even before we realize it. When the promised blessing is realized and enjoyed, faith is swallowed up. So it's basically saying you don't need faith once you've actually received it, because you have to remember that faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things which are not seen. So when you see them and when you no longer have to hope for them, well, then you're not actually having to exercise faith, are you? Because you have it. So that's why it says that when the promised blessing is realized and enjoyed, faith is swallowed up. Okay, now let's move on. But many suppose that they have much faith when sharing largely of the Holy Spirit, and they cannot have faith unless they feel the power of the Spirit. Such confound faith with the blessings that comes through faith. The very time to exercise faith is when we feel destitute of the Spirit, when thick clouds of darkness seem to hover over the mind. Then is the time to let living faith pierce through the darkness and scatter the clouds. True faith rests on the promises contained in the Word of God, and those only who obey that Word can claim its glorious promises. Who can claim God's glorious promises? Only those who obey God's Word. Right. Now let's continue on. It says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. John 15, chapter 7. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. That's from 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. Then it goes on to say, we should be in much secret prayer. Christ is the vine and ye are the branches. And if we would grow and flourish, we must continually draw sap and nourishment from the living vine. For separated from the vine, we have no strength. Now, the author of this is a woman that had a vision. And she says, I asked the angel why there was no more faith and power in Israel. And he said, ye let go of the arm of the Lord too soon. Press your petitions to the throne and hold on by strong faith. The promises are sure. Believe ye receive the things ye ask for, and ye shall have them. And then it says, I was then pointed to Elijah. He was subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly. His faith endured the trial. 7 times he prayed before the Lord, and at last the cloud was seen. I saw that we had doubted the sure promises and wounded the Savior by our lack of faith. Said the angel, gird the armor about thee, and above all, take the shield of faith, for that will guard the heart, the very life from the fiery darts of the wicked. If the enemy can lead the desponding to take their eyes off from Jesus and look to themselves and dwell upon their own unworthiness instead of dwelling upon the worthiness of Jesus, his love, his merits, and his great mercy, he will get away their shield of faith and gain his object. They will be exposed to his fiery temptations. The weak should therefore look to Jesus and believe him. They then exercise faith. Now, before I deal with how to guarantee God answers yes to all your prayers, I will first deal with why God wants to answer yes to all your prayers. Because I firmly believe if you know why God wants to answer yes to all your prayers, you will have faith that he will answer yes to your prayers. Okay? Now, apart from prayer being for a relationship, prayer is about God. And God is about being productive in accomplishing his will. So then prayer itself should be a productive activity. Now, I want to read another quote just before I start getting into it. It says, prayer is not understood as it should be. Our prayers are not to inform God of something he does not know. The Lord is acquainted with the secrets of every soul. Our prayers need not be long and loud. God reads the hidden thoughts. We may pray in secret, and he who sees in secret will hear and will reward us openly. Prayer is not intended to work any change in God. I love that. Prayer is not intended to work any change in God. It brings us into harmony with God. A lot of people are trying to pray and manipulate God into doing what they want to do. Doesn't work. Trust me, I've tried it. I know. Does not work. You can't change God. God says, I am the Lord, I change not. God also said, I'm not a man that he should lie. So if he's not a man that he should lie, then he's not a man that he should lie and say, I don't change, and then change. Because then that would be lying, if you get my drift. All right, so prayer is not intended to work any change in God. It is to bring us into harmony with God. It does not take the place of duty. Oh boy, some people need to really hear that one. See, a lot of people kind of like pray and they say, okay, I'm going to leave that to God now and just leave it in his hands. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with doing that. But a lot of the time people become very passive. They pray and just leave things and expect things to happen. The Bible also says that faith without works is dead. So you need to take actions and corresponding actions to the words that God has promised in order for your prayers to be fulfilled, because we are actually co-laborers with God, you see, and we have a great responsibility to take action, because God will not do for you what he has given you the power to do. And so many people live their lives with the promises of God unmanifested, and they think, oh, it must not be God's will. But how can it not be God's will? It's God's promise. God has promised to do that. And God has said that the things that he has said shall prosper in the thing to which he has sent it. Therefore, what he promises will come to pass if you will do your part. Now, she goes on to say that prayer offered ever so often and ever so earnestly will never be accepted by God in the place of our faith by our works. Now, as I was saying, prayer is supposed to be a productive activity. Your prayers serve God's purpose. See, Jesus taught us to pray, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, would Jesus tell us to do that for the sake of doing it? No. See, there's a purpose behind it. There's a reason why God has actually asked us to pray that his will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And I believe part of the answer is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him. See, God accomplishes his will through his people on this earth. And so when we pray and ask for his kingdom to come and that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, then he has permission to get involved in the affairs of man. And I'm going to give you a text for that later on, but I'm just going to give you a few more texts. Psalm chapter 35 verse 27 says, "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant." Now, if God is in you and you're prospering, then his agenda and the things which you are working towards are prospering as well. And so he has said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." If you favor God's cause, when you prosper, so does his agenda. Now, if you'll pray according to God's will and you favor God's righteous cause, do you see God answering no? See, God's intention and purpose of your praying is for him to answer yes to it so he could do his will. Now, here's the text I said I was going to give you. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. See, your prayers have the purpose to produce the will of heaven on earth. God wants to manifest his will on earth through you. Your assignment on earth has its special and unique part of God's whole divine plan. And so it would be in God's best interest to answer yes to you when you make your requests for deliverance or strength or provision, etc., because all those things are the tools required to assist you in manifesting God's will on earth as it is in heaven. God is passionate about being productive. In fact, he hates unproductivity. He hates things that aren't productive. Jesus cursed a fig tree that wouldn't produce fruit. We have evidence of that in Mark chapter 11. And then you've got the story of the talents, where the steward who was given one talent just buried the talent in the ground and didn't do anything with it. And God fired him. Well, I'd fire him too, because he didn't accomplish the will of God that he had been instructed to do, right? So God says anything that he has not planted shall be rooted up. In other words, anything not being fruitful or unproductive will be uprooted and destroyed. God wants nothing to do with anything that is not being productive. God said himself in Isaiah chapter 48 verse 17, "I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit." My point is, God wouldn't have us pray just so he would ignore it or say no. He wants you to pray so he can say yes and do his will on this earth. Psalm chapter 37 verse 4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart." When you delight yourself in God, God will give your heart a desire for what he desires. So he says, "Make your requests known, ask and ye shall receive." The Lord bestows present grace and favor and future glory, honor, splendor, and heavenly bliss. No good thing will he withhold for those who walk uprightly. Receiving from God is just so simple. The key is being confident of God's will to know what to pray so you can pray in faith. So it would make sense to find what God's will is. And then when you know what God's will is and you pray according to it, believe it and be obedient to whatever it is you need to be obedient to and stay in faith. Now, this is important. It's very important you do this, because Jesus said, "According to your faith, be it unto you." according to your faith. You're the one that has to have the faith here. God said, all things are possible to those who believe. Ephesians 3, chapter 20 says something very interesting. Now to him, that's God, who is able. Able to do what? Able to do exceeding. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can actually even ask or even think. He's able to do it. But he said, it's according to power that works in us. According to the power that works in us. That's really powerful. Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. So we must receive by faith in God and make sure that we're doing his will, and then he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to that power which we have working within us. And the advantage that we've been placed at is that God has actually made his will known to us. It's written that eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But, it says, God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 9 and verse 19 says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. So God has made known to us the mystery of his will, and we just read that he reveals it to us by his Spirit. God has made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Now verse 19 says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Now, the real secret to making sure that God answers yes to all your prayers, the real secret you must know, is making your will line up with God's. Let the mind of Christ be in you. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let the word of God consume your mind's thoughts. When your mind is lined up with God's, whenever you pray, your answer will always be an unequivocal, an irrevocable yes, if your prayers are in accordance with God's will. That's what God's promised us in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. So you want to make sure that your will is lined up with God's. Now, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3, in the Amplified Version, has a very good way of putting how you can actually practically get to the point where your will is in fact lined up with God's will. It says, roll your works upon the Lord. Roll your works upon the Lord. Commit and trust them wholly to him. He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to his will. That's so good, I'm going to read that again. Roll your works upon the Lord, commit and trust them wholly to him. He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to his will, and so shall your plans be established and succeed. That's powerful. Now, Revelation chapter 19 and verse 13 says that Christ is called the Word of God. So let's read Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3 in the Amplified Bible with the Word in the place of the Word, the Lord. Roll your works upon the Word. Commit and trust them wholly to the Word. The Word will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to his will, and so shall your plans be established and succeed. So line up your will with the word of God. Now, the Bible says, there's a principle in the Bible that says that by beholding, you become changed. If you will keep beholding the word, what will happen is your mindset will change. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So as you keep beholding the word and keep renewing your mind with the word, what's going to happen is your mind is going to change and your will become agreeable with God's will. And so when you pray, you'll start praying according to God's will. And when you've been in the word, then all these promises will come to your mind that God has promised you. And then you're going to be praying according to God's will. And because your mind is saturated with the will of God, your mind causes you to take actions that are in line with the word of God. And what happens is your prayers start to be answered. This is really powerful stuff. Now I'm going to move on. Line up your will with God's word, the word which is his will. Now I'm going to show you some of what God's will actually is. And I know that you're just going to love this. You're going to love this. I promise you. It says, beloved, I wish, this is God now, I wish above all things. This is God. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. So God wants your whole life to be a prosperous life. All right? God has said, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Jesus says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9 says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. James chapter 1 verse 17 says, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father. That's every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above and comes down from the Father. Psalms chapter 84 verse 11, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So it is the will of God that every promise in the Bible is in full manifestation, visible in your life. And we know that because he said, forget not all his benefits in Psalms chapter 103 verse 2. All right, so that's a little bit of what the will of God is. And if you want to know some more, then you want to check out God's Artillery of Promises, because that contains what the will of God is inside the promises. It tells you what God is willing to do for you and what you can pray according to and what he will ultimately make the outcome and manifestation in your life. Now, according to 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, when every prayer you pray is lined up with God's word, God will have nothing to say but yes. See, Numbers 23 verse 19 says that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? The promises of God are yea and amen. God is faithful and just to perform his word. See, he treats all promises the same. There's no difference with one promise than he is with another promise. For example, you know in 1 John chapter 1 verse 19 that God is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. And he's no different with the promise that God shall supply all your needs according to his riches. There's no difference between the two. Some people like to think that, well, God will honor one promise and not another. Well, that's not true. God is not a man that he should lie, and he is faithful across the board. Every promise he has made, he is faithful to perform. See, his word is his word. That's it. And when you ask according to his word, you have asked according to his will, and therefore your request is not only valid, it is granted. This is exactly what 1 John chapter 5 verse 14 and 15 is saying. So you always want to go to God with his own words. Don't trust in your own words. Remember, we read the text earlier that says, don't lean to your own understanding. Always go to God with his own words. Don't trust in your words to get you anywhere. Call to mind the promises that God has given. And I can promise you, whenever you do this, your petition is accepted and the answer is given. When it is in accordance with God's word, you will ask and ye shall receive. It is given. Providing, of course, you've met all God's other requirements, which we will cover in module number 2. If you are praying according to what God said in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, it is just as much your duty to believe that God will perform what he said, that he'll faithfully forgive you, as it is your duty to actually confess your sins. So it's your duty just as much to obey the principle by confessing as it is your duty to believe. All right, so you've got the action part to take and you've got the believing part to take. And when you've got those two, the promise will be fulfilled. There's no question about that. And this is why I believe that you're going to find module 4 so valuable, because what we're going to be covering is God's love, God's integrity, God's impartiality, and God's promises. Because I believe if you're convinced of God's love and his integrity and his impartiality, then you will have confidence that he will perform his promises. And I promise you, module 4, it's a big module, there are 4 parts to it, but I can promise you it is going to be so valuable to you. And I believe that once you've gone through this, you will have every confidence in God's promises. And I don't think you'll ever have any doubt again. If you keep by beholding and becoming changed, you'll consistently keep these things going over in your mind, and you will just keep on growing and growing and growing, and you're going to keep on prospering. And what I want is, I want to move you from I think, I hope, and I wish to I know beyond doubt, and I am fully persuaded that what God promised, he is also able to perform. See, I want to help you to be convinced that what God says is true, regardless of appearances. That is faith, and faith is the evidence of things not seen. Now, we're told that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, it's interesting that it put it in there twice. It comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, you can obtain potent faith by following the advice from Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. To renew means to keep redoing, keep renewing, hearing and hearing by the word of God. The word says you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you will prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Now, it's important you do this, because God says, forget not all his benefits. He doesn't want you to be afraid to ask for anything. He doesn't want you to be ashamed because you think that maybe, you know, God can't forgive you for something he's done. No, he's promised he is faithful and just to forgive you. So he doesn't want you to be afraid. He says, come boldly to the throne of mercy and obtain grace. Don't be afraid to ask for anything. It doesn't matter to God how big it is. No thing is too hard for God. You're dealing with someone here who has unlimited resources and to whom all things are possible. That's why you're going to love module number 3, because we're going to be covering what things are possible with God. God's capabilities, what he's capable of. I tell you, he's done some pretty amazing things. And I don't want you to have any doubt in your mind that God can work out the situations in your life. Now, here's something very interesting that I've learned. God doesn't start until he is finished. I'll say that again. God doesn't start until he is finished. The Bible says that God declares the end from the beginning. So God is very smart in the sense that he makes promises, and because he's declared the end from the beginning, he already knows how his promise is going to come to pass. Now, often people read things in the Bible and wonder, how on earth is that going to happen? They're looking at their situation, see, they're not looking at how big their God is. in comparison to their small problem. I mean, if you just look at the size of this universe and you look at your little problem, and I mean, we see God's word is still faithful today. We see God's word is still in operation. The same word that spoke the sun into existence, we see the sun every day. God's in control. God has set the earth 93 million miles away from the sun in a precision that just proves that God is still in control. And if God can hold the world for 6,000 years orbiting around the sun, around a perfect solar pathway, then I think that something as insignificant as a bill that you have to be paid is a minor issue to God, and he really can take care of these things. And I want you to be confident of that. See, God doesn't start until he is finished. That means he doesn't make any promise until he has worked out how he will make that happen. God has already worked out how every promise he has ever made will come to pass for every single individual who has ever existed in their specific situation. You have to think about this. God declared the end from the beginning for everyone. He has predestinated each one of us. So every promise that's in the Bible, everyone, he has already thought of you and thought, okay, how can I make this promise, this promise, this promise, this promise, that promise, this promise, that promise, this promise, all the many promises come to pass in each individual's life at the point when they need it, at the point when they claim it. He has worked out every situation, and that's why he says, I declare the end from the beginning. God has got control of everything. Anyway, let's go on. Since it's impossible for God to lie, God couldn't make promises to everyone if he didn't know how to actually make them happen for everyone. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15 says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Now, here's the part that I think you're going to find most helpful. This is how to make this practical. I'm going to share with you some reliable principles which get consistent results. So if you want to have God's promises fulfilled in your life and get as far away from this trial and error going on and the frustration of not knowing what's happening, then you're going to want to listen up very carefully. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16, we've read it before, but we'll read it again. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And that's what we're paying attention to now, for instruction in righteousness. So what you're going to want to do, number one, and you may want to write this down, is read the word of God and find out what belongs to you. See, it all belongs to you. Forget not all God's promises. If we ask according to his will, if we believe when we pray, then we know we have received. So we want to make sure that we're reading the word and finding out what the promises are. And that's why I've sort of done the effort of saving you a bit of time by putting some scriptures together in God's artillery of promises for you. So you can get in your Bible for yourself and read those promises and find out what belongs to you, what God is willing to do for you. And so you can ask according to those promises and you know that you will receive them. And then what you want to do is pray according to his will. So you're praying according to those promises. Those are the first two things that I want you to write down, okay? Because a lot of us, we kind of pray and we're not actually praying what God has said. We know what God has said, but we're not praying it. So what you want to do, sometimes you may even want to go to God with your Bible open and say, Lord, you said this, and read it back to him. Now, the reason you want to pray God's will is because his words are spirit and they are life. God's word are literally creative spiritual energy waiting to become manifested material. And you're going to find this out in module number 4. And we're going to go into a little bit more detail in that. And it's important to know these things because the words that God spoke to create this universe are the same words that spoke the promises which will be fulfilled in our lives. So we want to pray according to the words which God has spoken. Now, Jesus was the word become flesh. Jesus was God's word which became manifested material substance. God's words are literally creative spiritual energy waiting to become manifested material. He is faithfully watching over his word to perform it. That's his word, not yours. Not your tears, not your begging, not your throwing a tantrum, but his word. That's what he watches faithfully over to perform it. And God says, so shall my word be that goes forth from out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Now, I know it can be challenging to keep on believing something will happen that God has promised when it doesn't look like it will happen. See, what happens is the flesh, which thinks seeing is believing, is always at war with the spirit, which knows that believing will cause you to see. Now, Galatians chapter 5 verse 17 tells us this. It says, for the desires of the flesh are opposed to the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are opposed to the flesh, for these are antagonistic to each other. They are continually in conflict with each other, so that you are not free but are prevented from doing what you desire to do. Okay, so we don't want the part of us that tells us that God's word isn't going to work to dictate what our actions will be. We walk by faith or not by sight. We don't look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So if you've prayed according to the word of God, and it looks like things are getting worse, you need to remember that God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. When you've prayed, God is not going to forsake you. Okay? Sometimes things take longer than we want them to take, but God has things under control. You do not need to worry about it. Don't despair. And you also need to remember that the devil loves it when things take long, because he loves to see us get anxious, and then he'll keep putting thoughts in your brain and firing thoughts in your brain, telling you that what you're doing is not working and that you're silly and that you should just give up. Okay? And that's what the devil wants. So you need to remember that. Okay? Now, the Bible then encourages us to not cast away our confidence. It says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For ye have need of what? Patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. So let that be of encouragement to you. In fact, you want to actually memorize that text, because I tell you, that will help you and get you through some hard times, because you know that after you've done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Don't cast your confidence away, because it has great recompense of reward. So there you have it. Guess what? You have entered into an exciting world of guaranteed yeses to all your prayers. Now, the chances are you really enjoyed this first module, and we're not quite done yet. I've got a few more things to say to you, but you're going to want to listen to that again, I'm sure. But what you really want is for those seeds from God's word to be established roots in the soil of your heart, so that you can produce fruit from the word of God which you've just heard. So how do you make that happen? Let me share something with you that someone once shared with me. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap your destiny. Nothing will happen if you don't put it into action. Okay? Not even God will do for you which he has given you the power to do. So you want to take action on the steps that you receive in this program in order for it to work. You're not gonna just by hearing get the benefits of what this program is designed to bring you. Okay, now let me give you some advice from James chapter 2. It says, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. faith without works is dead. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Ye see then that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now it says in verse 25, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now that you know all this, here's the first thing that you must do right now to make this work for you. And remember what we spoke about, that God will not do for you that which he has given you the power to do. A lot of the time we just want to be very passive, but I'm telling you, if you will do this immediately, and I mean right after you have finished watching this video, then you're going to get the process going. You're going to start to see the prayers in your life be answered. Okay? So what you want to do is be a doer and be someone who follows through and gets results. So make sure you do this exercise before moving on to module 2, because in module 2 we'll have more exercises to do, and I want you to make sure you're keeping up. The first thing you're going to want to do, number 1, is make a list. Make a prayer list, okay? List all the things that you want answered in your life, okay? I want you to write these down, and you can download the ebook that's accompanied with this module and print it. And what I want you to do is make that list, and as you pray and they're manifested, I want you to tick them off, all right? And as you tick them off, you're going to feel some gratitude in your heart. You're going to be really excited. You're going to think, wow, this is really working. And eventually you're going to get to the point where you'll see tick, 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 tick all down the box, and then you're going to have to make a new list, all right? So what you want to do next is find the suitable promises that are fitting to the request that you have made, and you can use God's artillery of promises to help you, okay? And you can also look at the action steps that you need to take in order for those promises to be fulfilled by looking at the promise and seeing, okay, well, what's God asking me to do here? And pray prayerfully and ask God according to his will, and you'll start to see the things that God wants you to do, because he'll reveal them to you. God has made known to us the mystery of his will. God reveals them to us by his Spirit, and ask him to make it clear to you, Lord, what should I do in order to have these things manifested in my life, all right? Then what I want you to do is write an agreement and determine to go before God, praying his promises to your list. And I want you to do this consistently, praying earnestly, believing you have received at the point when you're praying. And I want you to do this until you experience the visible result. Just like we read about Elijah in the book Early Writings, that he went 7 times praying to the Lord before he saw an answer, but he was consistent. You need to do that. And I'm going to talk about consistency a little more, I believe, in module 2. And you're going to see the importance of being consistent. And I want you to be consistent, okay? And then as you start to have those things manifested, you want to tick those items off the list. And then, number 4, what I would like for you to do is write to my testimony at godanswersyes.com. Because what I want to do is build up an archive of people's experiences having God answer their prayer. You want to show other people how faithful God is. And when you have your request and your answer, I want you to share that with me so I can share it with others, and we can all gain confidence in God manifesting his word and manifesting answers to his promises, okay? So when you've done that, and when you've done all those things, then you can start module 2. I'm going to wrap it up for module 1. I pray you're going to enjoy the rest of this program. Do those exercises, and I'll see you at module number 2. That's all for now. Bye-bye.